Hi, it's David Locke, host of Locked On NBA. Apologize for the late drop on this show, but I'm so excited about it. I want to get it out to you. Trevor Booker has been an 8-year NBA pro, one of the most liked guys in the NBA. He was signing with China in the offseason, had some foot problems. He's now back rehabbing his toe and has decided to become a Locked On Podcast Network NBA analyst. You'll hear him throughout the network, on Locked On NBA, in a bunch of different forms, coming up here while he's rehabbing as he gets ready for the NBA. He's a great guy. He was in the league last year, original first-round draft pick, spent 4 years in Washington, 2 years in Utah. He's with Philadelphia, Indiana, and Brooklyn last year. He's got great insight on all of us in the league, and it's an incredibly special opportunity for us to have him here on Locked On NBA. You can send him a thank you at 35_Fitz. On Twitter for joining us. That would be great. But here comes our conversation with 8-year NBA vet and Locked On Podcast Network NBA analyst Trevor Booker.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
So excited to welcome in Locked On Podcast Network, pseudo like not playing right now, but not retired because the NBA comeback is still coming, expert Trevor Booker. Trevor, how are you, my friend?
I'm good, Dave. How are you?
So the real first thing we got to figure out is who Jared Jack's not retired either. So yet, so who is the social mayor of the NBA? Is it you or Jared Jack?
That's a good question. I don't know. I've known Jared Jack for a long time. He's a great guy. If I had to give it to anybody, I would give it to Jared.
He is like known as the most social guy in the league, right?
Yeah, he's very social.
Is there anybody else who like are the camaraderie social guy? Everywhere I go, we're talking dinner the other night. They were talking about how great you are, Trevor. Like everybody talks about how great you are.
Yeah, I've played with a lot of great people in my time in the NBA. A lot of social people. Trying to think of a few. Garrett Temple, you know, he's very social. I would say Joe Ingles, but I would be lying. Who else? Trying to think. Well, Utah days.
You got to get traded a few times. You got to get traded a few times, right? Like to really build. Like the thing about Jared Jack is he's also played on like 8 teams. You had Washington for 4, Utah for 2, Brooklyn, Philly, Indiana. So you only like touched 4 franchises along the way. 5.
Yeah. That's a few.
Right.
Enough for me, you know.
Right.
4, 5 in 8 years. Yeah, that's enough for me.
Well, I'm sure it was enough for more than your family. Like those cute kids at some point were like, "Okay, we're done. We're not following anymore."
Yeah, definitely. And that happened last year.
Yeah. Jared Jack had 8 teams in whatever his run was. And I think he's...
Yeah, that's tough.
Yeah, his last team was New York last year for 62 games. All right, so let's get your perspective. Yeah. Trevor, backstory on Trevor is he was going to go to China, surgery on the big toe, and the NBA comeback comes when the rehab is done. Do we know when the rehab is done, Trevor?
No, it's a broad timetable. Anywhere from 2 to 4 months.
Are you just sitting on
the toe is a tricky thing, you know, with the circulation and all of that, so it takes a little bit longer.
I bet. And you're just standing on 1 foot shooting 3s now?
Nah, right now I'm just taking it easy for the next 2 weeks until I can, you know, walk again. Right now I'm on crutches, so as soon as I start back walking, I'm going full speed.
I bet you are. All right, let's talk about your perspective on what you're watching. Just for interest, do you find yourself watching a lot of the league right now, or is it too hard to watch?
Oh, no, I definitely watch. You know, I'm such a fan of the NBA. I watch, you know, every single night. My family knows, you know, when it turns 7 o'clock, go to NBA League Pass. So I'm watching, you know, every game, flipping back and forth.
All right, then we're going to get the analysis. Let me start with the big headline story. So that's the Draymond Green, Kevin Durant. Let me just go to the actual play. What's your take on Draymond taking the rebound from Durant and going without giving it to Durant?
Well, I definitely thought he should have gave it to Durant. But, you know, if you look at, you know, the way they play, Draymond is bringing the ball up the court, you know, most of the time, you know, especially after he gets the rebound. But that was just a different circumstance. You know, it was the end of the game. You know, Kevin Durant should have had the ball in his hand as soon as Draymond, you know, got the rebound. But with that said, you know, mistakes happen in the game. You know, Draymond made a mistake. And, you know, KD, he was a little mad because Draymond, you know, didn't give him the ball. So I understand his frustration. And, you know, Draymond got mad at KD because he got mad at him. But Draymond got to realize that, you know, Draymond gets mad at everybody, you know, when they make a mistake and he says something to them. So he has to be able to take it also. So, you know, that's my take on it.
Isaiah Thomas on NBA TV had a perspective that no one else has had. Which maybe shouldn't surprise us considering it's Isaiah. But he said that it was KD that he thought was out of line as a two-time MVP. Your teammate just made a mistake. You should come back to the bench and be like, all right, we're good. Let's go after it. What's your thought on that?
I was watching the interview when he said that, and I totally disagreed. You know, if KD felt a certain kind of way, I thought he should have stepped up and told Draymond and let him know how he felt. Like I said, Draymond, you know, he lets his teammates know, you know, how he feels. And, you know, with what Isaiah was saying, you know, it honestly could have been something else, you know, that led up to that point, that frustration in KD, you know, where he got mad. You know, Isaiah was saying that KD, you know, as being the best player on the team, he should have, you know, let it go and moved on to the next play. But it might have been some, you know, he might have let other things go. You know, he might have just been frustrated in that moment and tired of, you know, letting things go. So, you know, that might have led up to him, you know, even more frustration than him letting it out. But I didn't agree with Isaiah at all.
It's a good point. Locked On Podcast Network analyst Trevor Booker. I like the way that sounds. I think we'll go with that. Sounds cool. So, all right, you know me well enough to know I'm full of hot air, so you can tell me if you think I'm totally full of crap on this. So I think that the whole Warrior concept was strength in numbers, right? That was their whole mantra. And I think there's a frustration from them that Durant hasn't bought into that. And I think that's what boiled over. And I would use, just to give you some background on it, Sean Livingston and David West, both in the locker room in the celebration last year, talked about the amount of crap that had gone on and how incredible it was they got through it. And no one knows what they went through. Steph started talking about kind of awards and things like that. And then Iguodala, who's the leader of the whole thing, came out and was like, Steph's the MVP. Steph deserves the MVP, which I thought was really interesting. And the next day, Durant was like, I'll never win another MVP again because everyone likes the young guys. And I think this is all, at least my opinion with a little background knowledge, that this is boiling over, that they had this whole strength by numbers. That's why they brought in Durant, and then Durant hasn't played along.
Yeah. I'm not sure, you know, how true it is. But from what I'm hearing, you know, it's a little bit of frustration in Draymond because he said that Kevin, you know, is making everything about him, you know, his free agency and all of that. So I honestly, you know, don't know, and I can't tell if, you know, if KD has bought into, you know, the system or not. You know, one thing that I heard that Draymond said was, you know, that, you know, they were winning before he got there. That's what he told KD, which was true, but it's definitely a lot easier, you know, winning with him on the team. So I'm not sure, you know, what's been going on in that locker room, but it'll be interesting, you know, to hear. I would pay for it to come out.
All right, so it's awesome drama. It's fun to talk about. We're grabbing coffee, and we're all talking about it on the road with the team. What's the impact? Give me your perspective. Do you think it ever matters? Does it cost them games? Does it linger all season? They're still so damn good it doesn't matter? What's your thought?
Yeah. You know, with just about any other team, you know, it would have a negative impact. But with this team, I think it's only going to fuel them. I watched the Draymond, you know, interview today, and he was talking about, you know, if people thought that they were, you know, I can't remember his exact words, but it was pretty much like if they were good now, then, you know, watch, you know, what this argument did that's going to make them, you know, even better. And, you know, I truly believe it. You know, both players are going to be fueled by it. And I think, you know, next thing you know, they're going to be best friends the next, you know, five or so games. That is going to seem like, you know, they're best friends.
He's Trevor Booker out of Clemson. He'll want to talk college football with me if I let him. 23rd pick of the 2010 draft and currently rehabbing an injury before he tries to get back in the league after a, what is it, eight years in the NBA. We'll talk about Jimmy Butler to Philadelphia and the impact of that and what that looks like when we continue here on Locked On NBA. So Jimmy Butler became alpha dog in Chicago when Derrick Rose was the previous guy. He joined Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns and became leader of that, though, frankly, they were the third seed last year until Jimmy got hurt. And now he joins Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, who Joel says he'll be the best player in the world, and frankly, Ben Simmons thinks he's the next LeBron. So how does this work out?
Philly. Well, I have, you know, some experience in Philadelphia last year. It's going to be interesting for sure. You have Joel, who I think is the best center in the league. And if he can stay healthy, he's going to be one of the, you know, best players to ever play the game. We have Ben, you know, who's a 6'9 point guard with tremendous vision and athleticism. And then, you know, you add in, you know, Jimmy Butler. Great defensive player, just a complete dog on a basketball court, super competitor. So he's definitely going to do nothing but help them. I mean, they lost two big pieces in Cove and Sarge. So that's not easy to replace, you know, with one player. But if anybody can do it, I think Jimmy can. But I think it just takes away from Philly's depth. And ultimately, I think in the end, they're going to I think they were better off, honestly, with Covington and with Sarge. They were just such big pieces for the team. I know I love Jimmy's game, but, you know, they already had the chemistry with Cove and Sarge, and they were, you know, such big pieces. You know, Covington was, you know, all NBA team, defensive team, first team last year. You know, Sarge was a young scorer, competitor. So with Jimmy, you know, coming into the rotation, it takes away from their depth. But at the same time, you know, he's a competitor. So he's going to – the Philly crowd is going to love him. And, you know, just to add him with Ben and Joel, they're already super competitors. And I think, you know, he's going to push them to the limit. But, you know, if he doesn't – resign there next year, whew, man, it's going to be tough getting another player to replace him.
Do Ben and Joel need a Jimmy Butler around?
Yes, for sure. They just need, you know, somebody that's going to push them. You know, like I said, they're already competitors, but I think Jimmy can push them to another level. You know, other levels that, you know, I think Sarge and Covington, you know, couldn't push them to. You know, Jimmy can push players to another level just by how hard he plays and how much of a competitor he is. So I think he's going to, you know, push them to another level.
You make a really interesting point here, Trevor. Sarge was playing 36 minutes a night, Covington 32, or vice versa. I mean, they've got to replace 68 minutes of now, Jimmy will replace 36 of it, but how big a deal is that they've got to find the other 30 minutes? Because they closed the game in Orlando the other night with Mike Muscala on the floor because they didn't have any shooting, and so he's like their next best shooter.
Yeah. I mean, I love Mike Muscala, but if they're going to, you know, have him on the floor in crunch time, and I think they're in trouble. You know, he's a great role player, but he's nothing like, you know, Sarge was. Sarge, he could step out, knock down the three, and put it on the floor, post up. You know, Sarge could do it all. He got off to a slow start in the season, but I felt like he was slowly, you know, coming back to himself. And I mean, he's just a tough piece to replace. And I really think, I don't know where they're going to find those other minutes. I mean, I know they're banking on Wilson Chandler. But I think it's going to be tough for him. And I think, you know, some players, the star players, they're going to be worn out by the end of the season.
So you spent 33 games in Philly last year, if I have my numbers right, and I think you were there for more than 33 games. I think you played in 33. Incredibly talent. Give me your kind of talent level on Embiid and Simmons and just watching them day in and day out.
Well, Joel Embiid, he's probably the best player that I've played with in my NBA career. You know, and that was such a short stint while I was in Philly. But his game is, he has potential to be, I think, the best center of all time. I mean, that's pushing it. He has to stay healthy and keep improving. But he's that dominant. You know, in practice, it was tough for anybody to guard him. You know, in the games, you know, it's tough for people to guard him. He's just out there, you know, just having fun with it. You know, just dominating at the same time. You know, talking junk. He goes to, you know, social media, talks junk to different players, talking about he owns real estate in people's heads. You know, that's just, you know, how he is. He's having fun with the game. You know, at the same time, he goes out, you know, to dominate. And to think that he just started playing basketball at the age of 15, I think it was. It's ridiculous because he still, you know, has a lot to learn, and he still has a lot of potential. As for Ben, you know, he has, you know, a lot of potential also. You know, just his skill set and his body, you know, at the point guard position, and his vision is, you know, it reminds me of LeBron James, you know, his vision, you know, on the court. So, you know, with those two guys, you know, in the driver's seat, I think, you know, Philly, they're in for, you know, a great future.
Is Ben Simmons going to ever be able to shoot, or does it not matter?
Honestly, I don't think so. But I still think he can dominate without that. You know, even if he can, you know, just get, you know, back down in the post and get a nice little fadeaway, or just get in the paint and get a nice little jump shot, you know, he can, you know, take another level, another step. But I don't see him, you know, ever, you know, getting a jump shot. Definitely not a three-pointer. As much as I love Ben, you know, he's a great guy. I just don't see that happening.
Trevor Booker is with us. He's our Locked On Podcast Network NBA analyst as he works to get his toe back and make his return to the NBA. We'll find out Trevor's favorites when we return on Locked On NBA. So you're sitting around watching every night, as you said. What are your favorites? Who are the teams you got to watch? What do you love seeing right now?
I like watching Boston, just because they have so much talent, and I just sit around and try to see how Brad Stevens is going to make it work, him and Danny Ainge. So I love watching them. I want to see how, you know, Gordon is going to come back and what kind of comeback he's going to make. You know, right now he's struggling, but I think, you know, he's going to get it together soon. He's, you know, he took a whole year off, so that's pretty tough, you know, for him. But I think he's going to get it together. And as soon as he gets it together, you know, definitely watch out. I think they're going to have to make a move or two to be where they want to be. And I honestly think they'll do it this year. Who else do I like to watch? Milwaukee. I like watching Milwaukee this year.
Let me jump in. When I did, you know, me and my numbers, so I looked at Boston, and they, if you took their playoff shots and then added Hayward's career average and added Kyrie's career average, they were like at 126 shots in a game. So they, what you're saying is there's just no way you can ask everyone to reduce their shots by 30-40%.
Definitely not. definitely not. And, you know, the more players, the more talent that you have on a team, somebody, I mean, it's a young team also. So somebody's going to, you know, get decreased minutes, and that's going to, you know, mess with their potential. So it's a lot of things that you have to factor in. And I think, you know, just with that much talent, you can just, you can utilize it and, you know, keep, you know, the core guys together, and have, you know, some nice, you know, role players that would start on other teams and, you know, trade away a couple of guys. I mean, I have a couple of guys in mind that I would, you know, that I wouldn't mind trading away on that team if I was, you know, Danny Ainge. But I would try to get that solid veteran piece. I mean, like a Jimmy Butler, and trade away a couple of guys.
I will say we saw them the other night. Kyrie wasn't there, so a bunch of guys were getting opportunities they hadn't got in a while, so I think they wanted their shots. Open weak side guys were not getting passes.
Yeah, I know that they take a lot of jump shots. You know, I would like to see them drive more, but you don't, I mean, sometimes, you know, when you get limited minutes, it makes guys, you know, be a little bit more selfish. And you know, they can't play like that, you know, and Brad, I think he realizes that, you know, if they want to win, they cannot play like that.
You were saying you like Milwaukee. You can continue on things you like. I just interrupted you because I want to talk about Boston for a second.
Yeah, Milwaukee, you know, they made a move to get Brook Lopez, you know, this summer, which was huge because he spreads the floor for Giannis. And, you know, that opens up the driving lane for him. And he really needed that because in the past, you know, they would just clog up the lane. And, you know, and you know, hopefully they were just hoping, you know, that he wouldn't get past the wall. But now that Brook Lopez, you know, all he does is shoot threes. Now, I remember the days when Brooke was on the, you know, on the low block, and he was one of the best low post scorers in the game. But now, you know, I look at the box scores, all you see is, you know, Brooke 6 for 12, all 12, you know, 3-point shots. So he's nothing on him. He's nothing but, you know, a perimeter player now. But he opens up a lot of things for, you know, for Giannis, him, Chris Middleton, Malcolm Brogdon, you know, Eric Bledsoe, you know, even guys off the bench. You know, opens up a lot of things, and you know, Coach Bud, you know, he's doing a great job up there. So they're definitely fun to watch.
Who's the best team in the East?
You said they are?
No, who is the best team in the East?
Oh, I would have to say Toronto. Just that starting five plus that bench, they're dangerous. And to add Kawhi, man, dangerous team. I really like Toronto in the East. Because I don't think Boston has it figured out yet.
All right, so you're going to either run a front office at some point, or you're going to be an entrepreneur because you've done all your entrepreneurial school, or you're going to be a media guy because you're damn good at this. So I'm here to help you. Even though it's awkward, sometimes you have to ask the guy you're talking to the question that he'll be like, I cannot believe Beep had asked me that question. So I'm about to do that. What's your thought on what's going on in Washington? You might have some insight. You were only there for 4 years.
See, this is why I stay away from the media because I love speaking my mind. So, which and it's not good in today's, you know, market because I love speaking my mind. I don't, you know, like to sugarcoat anything, but. At the same time, you know, you got to watch what you say. But on that note, you know, what's going on in Washington, oh, man, they need some changes. I'm not sure where. Well, I'm sure. I know where, but I just don't want to say it. But they need some changes. Something is not right. Something is going on, you know, there. But I think some changes will be coming, you know, pretty soon. Definitely if they don't get together.
Were you ever on a team where you knew there had to be changes? And do the players know they have to be changes? And are you just, like, sitting around waiting for it? What's that atmosphere like?
When I was in Washington, for sure. I think that might have been the only time when I was in Washington, my first 2 years we just had a bunch of, you know, knuckleheads, and, you know, we were the laughing stock of the league. So you just knew something, you know, was going to be changed, and something had to be changed, and something, you know, would be changed by the deadline.
Is the knucklehead rule true? Do you know the knucklehead rule? You can have one knucklehead, but when you bring a second one, then they have someone to talk to, and now you have a problem.
Yeah, the problem was we had like four or five.
All right. Hey, he's one of the nicest guys in the league. He's everyone's favorite. He's incredibly bright. He's got a great future. He's still going to play some before he's done, but he was nice enough to take time with us. Are you willing to do this again, even though I asked you about Washington?
Anytime you want. It was fun.
He's the great Trevor Booker. You're going to learn to love him. He's got such great insight. Trevor Booker, our Locked On Podcast Network NBA analyst. Trevor, thank you so much.
Thanks, David.
I thought Trevor was just fabulous. Thanks so much to Trevor Booker, new Locked On Podcast Network NBA analyst. I knew he'd be great. Super guy. So fun to see every day. Really bright. Worked in the offseason in entrepreneurial programs. Great to have him up. Make sure you get ready Monday. Josh Lloyd will be back with you. Adam and Anthony took the week off so we could fully promote this one. We thank them a great deal for taking the week off this week so we could get this out and have it be there. We look forward to having Trevor on all of our Locked On Podcast Network shows. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Locked On Podcast Network. Make sure you go grab your local team's Locked On show.